us with every spiritual blessing. Everybody say, every spiritual blessing,
every spiritual
belongs to me.
Belongs to me.
Well, if God blessed me with it, it belongs to me, doesn't it? Amen. Has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I wanted to read those four verses because it says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the blessings that we have come from the Father through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, in teaching on prayer, one of the things that Jesus taught was that anything that we needed, any prayer request, any petition that we had from God, we are to approach the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to approach God, who is also our Father. Amen. He is our Father. We approach him through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so we say things like, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Or if we pray a prayer, and you know, and we should always close it out in Jesus' name. Because he is our access to the Father. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, is our access to God the Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. And because of that, I have been blessed, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Nothing left out. I like that word all. It's only three letters, but I love the word all. Glory to God. That covers everything. God, my God is everything I need. He is everything you need. Hallelujah. When Jesus purchased our salvation, it wasn't half done. It was complete. And that's the reason the Word of God tells us we are complete in him. Think about that for a moment. We are complete in him. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we talked about last week and week before that God the Father is the originator. Hallelujah. And I love, y'all know I love John 3:16. I talk about it a lot. And so I hope you love it as much as I do because you hear it often. But I go back to it because it's powerful, so very powerful. Where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And by the way, folks, there is salvation in no other than the living Son of God. His name is Jesus. Amen. We need to be clear about that. We don't need to be vague. Amen. We don't need to be vague. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he said. He didn't miss words. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me or through me. Hallelujah. That excites me. Amen. Glory to God. And so we also, so God the Father is the originator. And the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, came to do his will. You might say he's the one that carries out his Father's will. He's the implementer or the fulfiller. Thank God. And I read some verses to you last week, how that God used Jesus to create the worlds in everything. I'm not going to ask you to go there, but I'll just give you the scripture reference. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 19. That's what I gave you last week. But today I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, the very first chapter. The Gospel of John, the very first chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, I want you to know something. Understand something. I know some of you are still turning to John chapter 1. But this word is life-giving. Say that again. The word of God is life-giving. Hallelujah. Now remember, I told you that God created everything that is through Christ Jesus. But I just want to read something to you. You have John chapter 1. Let's look at the very first verse. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those three are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. But I love the way the Apostle John, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit, because this is the Word of God. This is Holy Spirit given word. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus Christ, the Word we're referring to here, he was in the beginning with God. Now listen at this. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Oh, praise God. In him, everybody say in him.
In him.
In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Don't you ever forget. Light is always, without exception, more powerful than darkness. This world that we're living in right now is very, very dark. Very dark. But understand one thing, the darkness is not more powerful than the light of God. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. And the light shined, this is verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It did not distinguish the light. Now, let me remind you of something before I go on. This is important. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what. Guys upstairs, I want you to work with me. Be quick as you can. I want to bring something out here. Back up to verse 1, chapter 1 of John. Verse 1. Follow with me through these five verses, if you would. Again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice it says, in the beginning. Well, you have to understand, this is written in English. So we hear it as in the beginning. But you have to understand something. God is. Grab that. God is. Remember, we'll read it again. He created everything. Everything that is was created by him. He is. We understand things, past tense, present tense, and future tense, but God is. Amen. So just like God the Father is, Jesus is, the Word is. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, before Abraham was, I am. Yeah. Before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I know I've already read it, but I want to read it again. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. In other words, Jesus always is. The Holy Ghost always is, just like the Father always is. Verse 3. Okay. All things were made by him. King James Version say by him. Through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Go ahead, go to verse 4. And in him, listen to this now, in him was what? Life. And the life was what? Was the light of men. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, did not overtake it, distinguish it, because light is more powerful. Now, I know I've gone through that twice, but I want to make this point. As dark as it is, with all the lawlessness that's taking place in our world today, all the lawlessness that's taking place in this nation, all the crazy, mixed up stuff that's going on in our world and in our nation today, it's darkness. Isaiah chapter 60, where it talks about darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. That's Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. But it tells us that the glory of the Lord will rise upon us. Right? Amen. Well, Jesus further confirmed that when he made this statement. You are the salt of the earth. And you are what? The light of the world. God shines through us. We are light carriers. We carry the light of God. In him was life. The life was the light of men. There's a song, I don't even know the words to the song. I don't know the title to the song. But two words stands out to me from this particular song. And it says, shine on. Shine on. And that's my charge to you today as born again believers, shine on. Because the darkness will never distinguish your light. If you make up your mind, you're going to shine. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You still with me? Glory to God. And all of this is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. Now, excuse me. I want to drop down to verse 11 of this first chapter of John. And it says, talking about the Word, which is Jesus. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He's talking about the Jewish people. He came to his own, and they did not receive him. But I love verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. I have a God-given right to believe on his name. Hallelujah. Listen at this, verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. If you know him, look at somebody and don't be shy about it. Look at somebody right now and tell them, say, I'm born of God. Come on, be bold about it. Say, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. We're born of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to do the will of his Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we talked about last week how Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and destroy the works of the devil he did. Hallelujah. Real quickly, go with me to the book of Genesis, the third chapter. And you know this, most of you do. You know about the fall of man. I won't go into all that today. But Satan is responsible for that. He's the reason that man fell. He tempted them. And they fell for it. But now, in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord God had a little talk with the devil. Had a little talk with the devil. And he told him about his future. He told him about his future. And let's read verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, that's Eve, and between your seed and her seed. He, you see that? He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, what God was telling the devil is simply this. There's going to be a seed of the woman, Eve, that's coming in the future. And this seed, Satan, is going to bruise your head. Now notice He said, your head. We all know that there's a difference between the head and the feet. Fatal head wounds take you out of the game. You can be wounded in one of your feet, and you may have to limp, but you're still moving. And he told Satan, he says, the seed of this woman is going to bruise your head. You'll bruise his feet, but he's going to bruise your head. I like to use the word crush. He's going to crush your head. That's exactly what Jesus did. He came and he crushed Satan's head. Satan bruised his feet. Jesus still have the wound to prove it. There are signs in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. Isn't it amazing? Even the resurrected Christ, was able to show Thomas the wounds in his hand. And those wounds in his hands and his sides and his feet is a living testimony of our deliverance. Think about it for a moment. God himself, the Word, is carrying evidence of our deliverance. Remember Thomas? Everybody called him Doubting Thomas, and he was a doubter. But Thomas became a believer in the resurrected Christ because he saw the wound. Because he saw the evidence. And Jesus told him, Thomas, you believe because you see. But blessed are those who have not seen with their natural eye, but yet have believed. I believe. How about you? Amen. Glory to God. I believe. Now, when we get to heaven, we're gonna see Thomas there. And when you get there, don't start needling Thomas. Well, Thomas, why did you doubt? No, God ain't gonna put up with any of that up there. So don't even think about it. But you know what? We're gonna get the fellowship with Brother Thomas. He didn't believe until he saw the wounds in his hand. But yet he believed. Glory to God. Oh, I tell you what, folks, that blesses me. Are you still here? And all of this is through Jesus Christ. This was the plan of God to deliver us. Jesus came to carry out the plans of his Father. And even to this day, he's still carrying out the plans of his Father. He is now seated on the right hand of God the Father, making intercessions for you and me. The Word of God tells us that we as believers can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. Because we have a great high priest in heaven seated at the right hand of God the Father. I am so glad that I can go before him and tell him anything, talk to him about anything, anything that concerns me, no matter what it is, I can talk to him about it. Glory to God. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what an honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I mentioned this, I don't know if it was Sunday or Wednesday night, but I did mention this. I want you to turn back to the Gospel of John, but I want you to turn to the 10th chapter of John. And before we move on to the Holy Spirit, I want you to hear what Jesus had to say about himself. John chapter 10. Remember, I shared with you in Genesis, where God told Satan that Jesus, well, he called him the seed of the woman, would bruise his head, and he would bruise the heel of the seed. After hearing that, the devil was on the lookout. He didn't know when he was coming. He didn't exactly know how he was coming. I can imagine him calling a meeting with all of his cohorts, all of his subordinates, and telling them, listen, God is sending someone to take me out. I don't know who it is. I don't know when it is. But here's what I want you to do. We're going to have one up on God. Because as soon as we find out who it is, we're going to take him out before he have an opportunity to take us out. Down through the generations, he was looking, listening, trying to figure it out. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but remember, they killed the prophets that God sent to the people. The devil didn't know. Maybe this is him. I'm not taking any chances, but just in case, I'm going to do whatever I can to take him out of here. Well, he found out who it was eventually. The child was born. And guess what he tried to do? Tried to take him out by killing all the young males. Guess what? God had another plan. God had another plan. And I don't want to go into all of that for the sake of time, but Jesus' parents took him to Egypt for a while. They spent some time in Egypt, and then God told them it's okay to come back. But what my point I'm making to you, every plan the devil had to take Jesus out, God had a plan to keep him. Having said all that, we'll try not to take up too much time. Now you should have John chapter 10 by now, right? Look at verse 17. And Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life." You see that? "Because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Notice Jesus said, "I lay down my life." Jesus was crucified at the exact same time that it was prophesied, in the right to the second in the plan of God. Nothing missing. Look at verse 18. Jesus is still speaking here. "No one takes it from me. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And what did he say? "This command I have received from who?" From who? Glory to God. He laid down his life at the proper time. And he said, "I'll take it up again." Of course, those folks didn't like hearing stuff like that, that he was talking to. Drop down real quick to verse 39, because he taught some other things between verse 18 and 39. But listen, this is the type of reception he got many, many times. "Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand." Why? Because he said, "I lay my life down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up. And I love you so much." He loved us so much that he made sure everything was done right to the second, as it was prophesied in Scripture. And guess what? He bruised the devil's head. And the devil was only able to bruise his feet by him going to the cross. Evil men lying on him and so forth. God knew everything that would happen, and he had a plan for it. Can I say something to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen. If you are hurt, discouraged, upset, because someone lied on you, maybe you lost a job opportunity or something happened negative to you because someone lied, I just want to share this with you. God still has a plan for you. For you. Just because someone lies or dishonest, deceptive, whatever, God still has a plan for you, and God will still carry out that plan for your life if you do not quit. Think about it. They lied on Jesus. They said he said things he didn't say. But the Word of God tells us he didn't even open his mouth, because he knew he was carrying out the plan of his Father. And when people do that, it hurts, don't it? I know I'm talking to some folks it's happened to. Probably some of you it's happening to right now in some capacity. One thing that I want to encourage you to do, and I'm getting ready to bring this to a close. One thing I want to encourage you to do doesn't matter how tight the things get. Doesn't matter the pressure. Doesn't matter the pain. Use it all as a stepping stone to get closer to God. You hear me? To get closer to God, to know him better. And you have a promise from God. You coming out on the other side smelling sweet. Amen. You coming out on the other side shining like pure gold. Even the old lying so-called prophet himself, Balaam, he had to admit, you can't curse what God has blessed. You can't curse what God has blessed. It doesn't matter. I'm closing, but the Lord just put this on my heart, and I want to give it to you. Don't ever see yourself as cursed. See yourself as blessed. You know, they talk about generational curses. Well, you know what? Generational curses can only affect your life if you allow it. Oh, I hope you're listening to me. This happened to me, that happened to me, blah, blah, on and on and on. Generational curses can only affect your life if you allow it. I made up my mind. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I am a blessed man of God because of that. You hear me? I am blessed. I am blessed. Not because of any material possessions, not because of anything, but the fact that I know him, he knows me. I am blessed. That's first and foremost. All the rest comes as icing, so to speak, on the cake. If the devil been telling you you're under a generational curse, go ahead and get that thing broke off your life right now and walk in the blessings of God. You walk, hear me, you walk in the blessings of God. All the curses was placed on Jesus so that we wouldn't have to be cursed. Doesn't matter who your family is. Don't matter what they did. That's them. You're you. You may favor your daddy, you may favor your mama, but they weren't where they supposed to be. That doesn't mean you got to be like them just because you look like them. I hope you're listening. Amen. Y'all understand how God uses me sometime. I know I get a little off here, but somebody needed that. Lift your right hand to the Lord right now. And I want you to say this. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I am free
from all the curses of the devil.
Who the Son makes free
is free indeed.
That's me.
That's me.
I'm free indeed.
Now
lift the other hand and bless him for it. Y'all ought to bless him like you know you're free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus came to do the will of his Father. That will was to set me free. And I'm free. And guess what? Free people need to act free. Free people need to talk free. They need to walk free. They need to live free. But, act like a sheep and stay free. Glory to God. Don't let no one put you in bondage. Don't let people get in your head. Oh, sister, brother, you know how it used to be. You know the struggle we had. I'm free, brother. I'm free, sister, in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you.